the data shows is those who have a choice, at least have a choice. They may not take advantage of telework, but if they at least have a choice to telework, they're more satisfied than those who don't even have a chance to begin with. So right there, you know, if you're looking at how you get your employees engaged, how you get them satisfied, how you get them to be more productive, even if they don't take advantage of it, even if they can't take advantage of it because
they at least
their
have
job
the option.
Is, right. If they have that option, they're going to be more satisfied. And actually, the numbers are pretty staggering, too. A couple of points. One is around recognition for doing a good job. For those who have an option to telework, their best places to work ranking score is 15 points higher than those who don't. Pretty incredible.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. The other one is, which is really kind of an interesting one as well, to their satisfaction or their involvement in decisions that affect their work. One would assume, and there's a theory out there or a camp out there that says if you're not in the office, you're probably going to be disconnected from it. You're going to feel less involved. You're going to feel less involved about the decisions. The data actually points to exactly the opposite. 16 points higher for those who actually have the opportunity to telework.
So I we talked to Ron Sanders yesterday from Booz Allen and formerly of the intelligence community. And part of my frustration, we have a lot of data. We've seen data like this before, and it even becomes more exaggerated as time goes on. And yet it still seems to be very difficult to have for this to occur.
Still difficult. And again, I think, you know, there's a couple different things that strike me on the snapshot. One is that even if people can't take advantage of a telework situation, simply having it in place counts for something. And I think that's something that we don't look at usually, which is, okay, Chris, you can't do this from home. You've got to be in front of the microphone. You've got to have all the other contraptions around you.
Yeah.
So therefore, telework isn't important for you at all. Again, the snapshot would point to that's not entirely correct. I think the other piece of it is
and
again,
I think some of the things that folks are learning is even if you do a portion, I mean, I have to be here clearly during this period because the show's on the air. But there are, can I do other parts of the job? Maybe I don't give me more flexibility.
That's right. So, you know, look at the broad scope of everything that's going on with your job, on a day to day or on an annualized basis and see where it does make sense.
Yeah.
So it may not make sense for everyone every day, but where can you actually see that it makes sense? And again, I think we've had this conversation before about just managers accepting that people can be productive if they're not in the office. And you can, in fact, manage somebody even if they're not 15 feet outside your door. And again, that's where this point of the employee's satisfaction with their level of involvement in decision making actually goes up if they've got an opportunity to telework. That's pretty astounding work.
Yeah.
And again, from a manager perspective, we better stand up and take note of that.
And it strikes me that they'd also telework. The Office of Personnel Management is doing this results only work environment, which is sort of telework on steroids. This also can spur managers and supervisors to really think of their job in a very different way, to focus on what they should be focusing on anyway, which is the results, not if you're there from 9 to 5, but what have you accomplished? What are you actually doing?
That's dead on. And again, I think we've become so accustomed to ensuring that people are at their desks during work periods that this is still a really foreign concept. So I think we keep talking about it. There's additional data that's out there. You know, at the end of the day, I think to your earlier point, Chris, the data shows this is actually a good thing. It gets people engaged. If you don't have it, satisfaction levels, engagement levels lower. We've got to, more than anything else, get managers comfortable with the idea that, yes, this can work, and it actually works well.
Seems to me a challenge from the employee point of view, because there's a little bit of that nervousness. A, I'm not around the water cooler, so I don't know what's going on. And am I out of sight and therefore out of mind?
Yeah, and again, something, you know, that the employee has to get used to. And I think in the day of, you know, technology that we have here, there's no reason that you, while you're not in the office, it doesn't mean that you can't be around the water cooler.
Right.
You know, your water cooler becomes a virtual water cooler. So I think, yes, the employee does have to take a different look at this as well and say, it's actually okay for me to be out of the office working in a telework arrangement as long as I'm productive.
I got a note from Daniel Pink. You may remember you got to participate in our Federal News Radio book club about his book Drive, which is all about what motivates people. And he has this thing that, you know, if people who feel empowered to do what they do, if you feel empowered over your life, over your job, they're much more motivated to actually do the work. And he happened to be writing me saying the book's coming out in paperback next week. So there's his plug. But it's a great book, and I think telework plays that kind of role in there.
Plays exactly that role for this. And again, I think, you know, the data in the snapshot certainly reinforces that those folks do feel more satisfied. They do feel more empowered. I'd also throw in one other thing to Chris, particularly in light of the environment that we're living in right now and ways to look for cost-cutting measures within government as well. You know, if you can look at an effective model for teleworking, think about it across government. 2.1 million federal employees, if a good percentage of those folks are actually working from home, working remotely, what does that mean for your rent costs? What does that mean for your office equipment costs? What does that – I mean, there are really positive implications for that as well.
Well, in this age of austerity, feds are being – really shrinking space. All of a sudden, you don't have an office. You hotel. And that's not an option. That's just the way that we operate now.
That's right.
Yeah. All this is well and good, but we haven't talked to you since you had your big trek down to Texas. Talk about the Super Bowl, for goodness sakes.
So I
was petrified that you were going to be one of the people who got booted out of your seats because I knew you were so excited about this trip.
Well, I was less petrified that I'd get booted out of the seat. And in fact, we didn't even know that people got booted out of their seats until the next day. But, you know, that was during snow and ice here, snow and ice in the Midwest, snow and ice down in Dallas and Houston. We were just afraid that we weren't going to get there. Great experience. Clearly, lifelong
Packer
fan.
This was your first ever Super Bowl.
First ever, probably my last ever as well. But, you know, there were three things that came together for me. I was able to get tickets and get them, I say cheaply, and I'll air quote for the listeners, was able to get face value tickets. It was my team. And three, I had an opportunity to go with my kid brother. So those three things aligned themselves great. And it was just an awesome experience for somebody who's a huge football fan.